The AccuWeather forecast today, cloudy skies, high near 42. Four adults and one child offered help by the American Red Cross after a fire at a side-by-side townhouse in the 800 block of Sandra Court in Racine Sunday. One of the occupants calling 911 said there was a stove on fire that prompted everybody to evacuate safely. A fire department news release indicates first arriving crews reported flames coming out of the first floor windows. Most of the damage contained to that first floor. The total estimate on the damage, about $20,000. The Red Cross reminding the public that help offered to these fire victims in cases just like this, that comes out of donations from the public, not government funding. A Town of Salem man rescued from his burning home by Kenosha County Sheriff's deputies. A dog, however, did not survive. This happened in the 24,600 block of 81st Place. First responders initially told that someone might still be inside. They got there, found heavy smoke, went in for a quick interior search, found the victim, helped him out. How the fire began, still under investigation. In the city of Kenosha, there was an unattended turkey fryer that boiled over, and it started a garage on fire. This in the 7800 block of 35th Avenue. Fire department reports indicating the property residents used a hose to put out most of the flames. City crews then got there and finished the job. Nobody hurt. Damage to the detached garage described as extensive. The turkey fryer had been set up inside the structure. That's a no-no according to fire department safety standards, plus the fact it was left unattended. Leadership for the Racine County Economic Development Corporation has been making the rounds of municipal government for which it does work about what's been accomplished to date and requesting more funding. Speaking to the Racine Redevelopment Authority, RCEDC Director Jenny Trick said 85% of the expenses are for their personnel delivering services.
So City of Burlington, Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, Sturtevant, Union Grove, Yorkville, again, we act as their staff from Economic Development Services. So when we're meeting with a prospect, they refer them out to us, or we meet with the city staff or village staff.
She also said a closer look revealed the cost of doing business has gone up over the years, not the budget, though, to actually get the work done.
And I'm happy to report, to date, everybody has approved the request that we've made.
The groups requested the city of Racine for a 15% funding increase to $80,000. It's already covered in the 2017 budget for the Department of City Development. And anybody from southeast Wisconsin who maybe happened to be passing through Madison back on August 6th of last year and bought a Powerball ticket and forgot about it, you may want to go back and check that ticket if it's still around. State Lottery offices, one lucky player holding a ticket worth $1 million has yet to come forward. It matched five of the numbers that were drawn that day, but not the Powerball. Winners have 180 days in which to claim a prize. In this case, it would have to be at the Wisconsin Lottery's headquarters in Madison by 4 p.m. on Thursday, February the 2nd. The Mount Pleasant Village Board will be meeting at 6 o'clock tonight at the Village Hall's big auditorium. The agenda includes a closed session, followed by a return to open session on what could be the selection of the new community development director. There's also scheduled to be approval of the job descriptions for administrator and human resources director. And the agenda calls for revisiting the approval process for the senior campus at Campbell Woods project along Highway KR. Students at UW Parkside and other UW campuses could actually benefit from a proposal that would give them a financial break if they would have to attend an extra semester or an extra year because they can't get into a class they need to graduate. State Representative Bob Gannon of Slinger says the university ought to be compensating the students.
They cannot give a student a course that's required for their degree within the first 4 years because it wasn't available. And this does happen. Where, let's say you're a teacher and you can't get X class, which means you have to stay another fifth year. I'm going to force the university to give that class free of charge to the student.
Says allowing the student to take that needed class for free wouldn't be a big help because they would still have to pay for other classes they would have to take during that time.
Hopefully they'll fix their system. I hear this horror story over and over and over. I have to take this one class and I can't get in it. It's full. Other people have priority to get in. I'm being bumped. Well, are they doing this because they want to keep you around? Well, we're going to take that away from them because then they would have to just provide it to you free of charge. And I would love to make them give it to you via electronic learning.
He says he plans to introduce his legislation in the near future. The Carthage College women's water polo team spent 12 hours in the pool over the weekend trying to raise money for their own travel costs as well as the local Boys and Girls Club. They called it a treadathon, and for those of you uninformed about water polo, that involves treading water all the time. Kenosha News says they had hoped to raise about $650, but it'll be added to the $250 raised by the team with a recent pasta dinner. Racine police with a brief tactical situation early this morning on the city's west side. The welfare of a man inside of a home on Indiana Street near Wright Avenue and the possibility of access to at least one weapon led to a cautious approach just after 2 a.m. At one point, the street was blocked off. A negotiator was brought in. Roughly an hour later, that subject surrendered peacefully. A man suffered non-life-threatening burns in a Caledonia fire on some property at 4 Mile and Highway 31. Fire began while the victim was working inside the garage. He was taken to Ascension All Saints Emergency. The injuries that he suffered while trying to put out the flames. Total damage estimate about $150,000. That was the garage and the home nearby, deemed by fire crews to be uninhabitable. Fire produced smoke that could be seen from at least a mile away. The Racine Unified School Board tonight is expected to approve one of the worst-kept secrets in recent times for the district, a plan of succession for Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion to take over when Lolly Hawes leaves as Superintendent of Schools. You'll remember the board recently gave Hawes a one-year contract extension into 2018, reportedly at her request. Before that, however, the board had approved a leadership structure that created the Deputy Superintendent position. And WRJN News also learned that Gallion's name was connected to more than one other school district seeking a new superintendent. Tonight's board agenda, which was not made public until mid-Friday afternoon, after that succession plan was added by at the latest Thursday, mentions a smooth transition in leadership. Gallion will get another $1,700 a month in salary during the transition time, in which he'll be taking on more of the day-to-day decision-making. He also, though, cannot seek employment opportunities elsewhere with the deal. Whether Dr. Hawes decides to leave before the end of her contract remains to be seen. The Village of Caledonia's Community Development Committee has a meeting at 5:30 this evening. That'll be at the Eastside Community Center. The agenda for that includes the latest on the concentrated effort to improve the village's website, including the coordination with nonprofits. Also, discussion about the local impact from the recent trend of big box retailers challenging municipal tax assessments all across the state, and a request for help with reconfiguring the center strip on Douglas Avenue. Meanwhile, at City Hall in Racine, the Finance and Personnel Committee will meet at 5 o'clock this afternoon. That agenda includes results of the request for a proposal from companies looking to help create the North Beach Master Plan and negotiations with Smith Group JJR. Cost on that project about $49,500. There's also the final year of the city funding operational expenses for the Launchbox Business Program. It's now being run through Gateway Technical College. The $50,000 this year is roughly half of last year's total from the city. And there's a closed session scheduled with the city attorney's office on litigation in reference to enforcement of an $800,000 home loan that was made to the group Main Lake LLC. One of the gated parking ramps in downtown Racine has been the repeated target of a few patrons apparently not willing to pay. After finding the gate either damaged or not working, the city, through its management contract, decided to clamp down and go after the offenders. The Transit and Parking Commission was told about surveillance cameras that captured license plates on every incident. One of the two cases from back in September at the Lake Avenue ramp involved the offender ending up paying $250 to repair the damaged gate. The other party has managed to elude police thus far. A report indicates one person illegally lifted the gate three separate times at the Lake Avenue site, including back-to-back days in mid-December. A second person did it once. And there was one gate crasher, if you will, at the Gaslight Point ramp. This all means lost revenue to the city from each person who does that, plus anybody else who gets to park at no cost, until the problem is fixed. With January's warm weather showing no signs of ending really anytime soon, might get a little bit cooler, but otherwise nothing frigid, public works crews have been getting quite a bit of work done that normally would have to wait until spring. Kenosha Street Division Superintendent is John Pridgick, says the warmer weather has also meant more potholes. That usually comes around March or so.
Right now, we're having such a warm-up that there's still frost in the ground, but it's beginning to leave. And then we're having all this rain, and the rain is working its way through all of the joints. And some of it will refreeze at night, and then you just get pothole formation just from the frost-freeze cycle.
Meanwhile, he says the current conditions just the opposite of what's really needed to minimize the winter road damage.
You get a frost that sets in the late fall or early winter, and it stays frozen with no thaw until the spring, and then it thaws all at once and it stays thawed. It's the cycle of going back and forth with moisture in the cracks and on the ground that cause all this road damage.
Yes, the city is definitely getting more complaints about the potholes and even other street problems.
But we're keeping up with the complaints, plus we're doing preventative maintenance. So we're not just working on complaints. We're taking care of those, usually within 24 hours, and then we're patrolling the streets in an organized system and filling every pothole that they come across.
And the crews, he said, have been doing things like trimming trees and flushing sewers. The street sweepers have even been out on some of the main streets. The American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin and the Juvenile Law Center are planning to file a lawsuit tomorrow over the treatment of juveniles at the Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Girls. That's where court records show a Racine County judge once voiced concern about sending a juvenile defendant. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's investigation had state officials missing repeated warning signs at Lincoln Hills, including policy confusion, staffing shortages, poor communication. State Department of Corrections in a statement says changes have been made in the last year under the leadership of Secretary John Lischer, including personnel changes. One state investigation was completed, no charges though. A second is continuing. Racine's Transit and Parking Commission recommends just over a 3% contract increase between the Unified School District and the Bell Urban System for transporting students. City Transit Director Mike Marley explained that the city's per-ride rate proposal of $1.30 to begin with, well, that got trimmed back to $1.21 in negotiations. That compared to the regular adult rate of $2.
That increase would have been $16,800. They said that proposal was exceeding the yellow school bus rate. That's an interesting question of whether it should or shouldn't exceed the yellow school bus rate. But anyway, it's a benchmark, and they felt that was important. We tentatively agreed on an increase of $9,000, or about $1.21 per ride on the regular routes, for a total of $304,000, or a 3.05% increase.
They said at these rates, we do cover some of our overhead while having to commit a certain number of buses towards student busing.
If we lost this revenue, we wouldn't just stop transporting students. We'd also probably have to, you know, eliminate a position or two in our administration, a mechanic or something like that. So, I mean, it does go to keep our system whole. The biggest threat from our side going forward is we have, this requires operating seven buses, and those seven buses have to have a spare ratio.
The commission was also told by Marley about parents and the district actually liking the options a city bus provides versus a yellow bus. And by comparison, he said the Kenosha transit system makes almost three times as much revenue, but transports about five times as many students, the rate charged per student being less than for the Bell Urban system. He found that amazing, in his word. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.